So before we start, once again, all the Torah we learn should be as a schus for the chayalim, a schus for the chatufim, and a schus for and a schus for Am Yisrael. So these shiurim have been on the topics of tefillah, trying to do lumdos and a little bit of lachal ma'aseh about tefillah. So I figured we'd look at a tefillah angle of Hanukkah, or a Hanukkah angle of tefillah. What came to mind was Al Nisim. And we're going to focus on one small corner of the halachic discussions about Al Nisim, and then hopefully use that as a way of broadening out to a larger conversation about quasi-halachic, quasi-lamdish, quasi-ashkafic about our posture, basically, our posture during tefillah. How chutzpahdik, or how derech eretz, how submissive, how strident should we be when we're davening to Hashem, particularly in an Esara, where things are happening that we don't fully understand. So, but let's start off with very narrow, and then we can broaden it out. So Al Nisim is mentioned in the Gemara. It's mentioned, the Gemara mentions you're supposed to say Al Nisim during Tfilah, the Gemara has a Safik, you're supposed to mention say Al Nisim during, you're supposed to say Al Nisim during benching. The Gemara doesn't actually give you the text of Al Nisim. But clearly Al Nisim was a known entity, a known text in times of the Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't fully give you the text. The earliest siddur that we have that gives us a text of Al Nisim in a way that's similar to our text is a siddur of Rav Amram Gaon. You could look at it in source number one. With a Chanukah, Mispal Shmon Esrei, Uvoda, Maskir, and Chanukah, you're supposed to have Shmon Esrei, and you can't skip davening. And in Hodah, in the Bracha of Hodah, Bracha Modim, you say the text. You probably read through the text. It's extremely similar to our version of Al Nisim until you get to the very end. The very end, the Kabul Shmonos Min Chanukah, Kabul Shmona Yamim V'Halo V'Odah V'Shmecha, and then it adds on as follows: Ukeshem Sha'asisa Imahem Nes Kain Asay Imanu Hashem Elokeinu Nisim V'Neflos Be'Is Hazos V'Noda D'Shemcha Gadol Sala. So Hashem, the same way you did these amazing miracles for the Chashmonayim during the time of Hanukkah, so too you should do miracles for us. Hashem, you should do Nisim and Nefalos for us, Be'is Hazos, and then we will be able to thank you. Be'al Kula Misparach, and then you continue with the Bracha. So this apparently, it seems to be, the original version of Al Nisim. If you look through the Rishonim say that the Gaonim had this Girsa, Kishem She'asisa, that exists over there, that existed in the Siddur of the Gaonim. If you look in the Rambam gives you a siddur at the end of the Sefer Ava. It appears in the Rambam's Sefer Ava as well. It appears in the Rambam siddur. And just to jump forward to Lachal HaMaisa, in contemporary times, Ashkenazim and Sephardim, Edut HaMizrach, don't have it. But if you took a Taimani siddur off the shelf over here, Taimanim do say it. It is in the Taimani siddur. They have this bakasha at the end of Al Nisim. Similarly, if you look at Masechet Sofrim, Masechet Sofrim is one of these compilations of Braisos from the time period of the Tanayim Amoraim. It's a little bit unclear. They don't have the whole text of Al Nisim that we have, but whatever text they have clearly included a bakasha. V'omim Bahodaya, source number two, in the Bracha of Modim, you're supposed to say, Ukenisei plos teshuas koenaka asher asisa b'mei matasyo b'nyokanan koen gadol chashmonai v'anav. Similar to the Nisim and the Niflos and the Teshuos that you did for the Kohanim during the time of Matasyo, so too you should do Nisim and Niflos for us, and you should say thank, and we should be able to thank you, express gratitude forever. Barakat Hashem Matov Amitiv. So the Girsa in Masechet Sofrim is different than our Girsa, but the Bakasha element in the middle of the Bracha of Modim is there. Fantastic. You read the text, it's a beautiful text, it's something which I think we would all be on board for. Thank you, Hashem, for the Nisim of the past. Hashem, please continue to do Nisim for us in the present. The problem is that it goes against a well-known halakhic principle, which is expressed in the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lama Dalet Amud Aleph. What does the Gemara say? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, source number three. The Olam al Yishal Adam Tzrachav, lo b'shalosh rishonos, lo b'shalosh achronos, ela b'msoyos. You should never ask Hashem for your tzrachav. In the first three brachos of Shemon Esrei, which are Shavak, the last three brachos of Shemon Esrei, which are Da, rather only you should leave your tzrachim for the middle part of Shemon Esrei. Damar Rav Chanina, Rishonos Doma Eved Shemesader Shavak Neirabo. The first brachos are like an Eved that is organizing his Shavak, is praising his master. And Sayos Doma Eved Shavakish Pras Mirabo. The middle is when you're asking for things. Achronos Doma Eved Shakibo Pras Mirabo Niftar Poliklo. The end is supposed to be Hoda. So how do you understand this halakha? Why can't you ask for your tzrachim in the first three or last three brachos of Shemon Esrei? not appropriate. It's a lack of derech eretz, right? You're supposed to tefillah is supposed to be modeled after the way you would speak to a king, to a dignitary, somebody who is in control over you. You need shabbat at the beginning, thank you at the end, and the bakashos should be the middle. It's not effective either. Good. It's either not lack of derech eretz or not effective. Maybe effectivity. Efficacy is the determining factor over here. We have seen some of tefillah being centered around the efficacy of what you're doing. The Rishonim here don't really comment. My understanding of it was it's like a lack of derech eretz. It's just inappropriate, and therefore because it's inappropriate, it's not going to be effective. But at the starting point, that it's inappropriate when you're talking to a king, to Hashem, to ask for your personal needs at the very beginning or at the very end of the conversation. And therefore, if you look in source number 4, the Golos Maimonides. The Golos Maimonides was the Ashkenazi glosses on the Rambam. This is a Talmud of the Maram of Rudenburg. I'm forgetting his name. Anybody remember the name of the Golos Maimonides? He's a Talmud of the Maram of Rudenburg who read through the Rambam and like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote whatever psakim he had from his Rebbe, but Ashkenazi like Yud from psakim of the Rambam. So on the text of the Siddur of the Rambam, where the Rambam has Al Nisim, the same way, in the same text as the Rambam going, on the words of Kshem Sha'asisa Meham Neis, so too do a Neis for us, the Golos Maimonides comments, V'chein Rabbeinu Mitzarfas Omrim, She'ein Lomar Kshem Sha'asisa Lam Nisim Gvuros, that the French rabbi say, you shouldn't have this line of Bakasha at the end of Al Nisim. V'fi She'ein Tfilah B'Hoda, because you cannot have a Tfilah, have a Bakasha in Hoda, in the Bracha about thanking Hashem. V'chein Nag Moir Rabbeinu Zatzal, and that was the minhag of my Rebbe of the Maram of Rudenburg. He took out this line. And not like the minhag of this goris, the person has this gersa, i.e. the Rambam. The Rambam has the gersa, and the Maram of Rudenburg took it out. So what do you make of this line? Ein tefila b'hoda. It's not quoting the Gemara, but it sounds like expressing the same principle that you're not supposed to have bakashos in brachos about hoda. Tosfos, so good. So is this true? Do we have bakashos in the first three and last three brachos of Shmona Esrei? So the last three brachos of Shmona Esrei is a problem v'chlal. Ritzei is a bakasha and Sim Shalom is a bakasha. Good. Yeah. So Ritzei and Sim Shalom we have to bracket. Then we'll have to deal with it separately when we deal with this Gemara and structure Shmona Esrei, because that it's against the whole Gemara. But we should have to say at least Hoda, the middle bracha there, which is the Iker Bracha of those last three. That's what the Rabbah says. The Iker Bracha of the last three is a Bracha of Hoda. There, let's say, the principle exists. So do we have any Bakashos in our Bracha of Modim? The answer is no. Do we ever add in Bakashos to Modim? The answer is yes. Like Josh said, we have Uksov V'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'ri Yisachah. We do add in these things. And the same discussion in Rishonim about Al Nisim happens with those things. So some Go'onim are pro, some Rishonim are against because of this Gemara. Our minhag clearly is to add these things in. Even though if you look at Rapaigo and he says the minhag in the Shtei Maseftos was not to add in these four lines because of this Gemara. You can't ask for Bakashos in the middle, the first three or last three Brachos of Shmona Esrei. So what justifies our minhag to add in Zorchenu L'chaim and Ksov L'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'ri Yisachah? So Tosfos over there in that Gemara in Brachos raises this discussion. He says, source number 5, Al Yisha Adam Tzrachah Lo B'Gim L'Vishan Azul B'Gim L'Vishan Azul B'Gim L'Vishan Azul Rabbi Nohai, Dafka L'Yachid, Abit Tzarki Tzibor Sholem. You're allowed to ask Tzarki Tzibor in the first three and last three brachos, but you only can't do Tzarki Yachid. And for one of the Rishonim, I think the Rush, I think it's on the sheet somewhere, says it's actually Meduik in the Gemara. What does the Gemara say, source number 3? Al Yishal Adam Tzrachav, Lo B'Shalosh Rishonim. So it's all in Lashon Yachid, it's all in singular. But maybe if you are asking not for tzrachah, but for tzrachi rabim, it's going to be okay. So just to follow this through, source number 6 is we could bracket right now. There are other reasons why not to have a bakasha in the end of Hoda. At the end of the day, look in the Torah, in source number 7, it's a machlokas Rishonim. The Torah quotes it as a machlokas. Some people don't say kshem shasisa. If yisha inomim tefila balda. So it's the Torah quotes it as a machlokas. Shulchan Aruch is quoted as the main sheet in Shulchan Aruch says not to say it. Quotes the Yesh Omrim who says you could say it. And Adiyom Mazeh again, Ashkenazim and Sephardim follow the main approach of Shulchan Aruch, which is not to say it. Timonim have it in their Siddur. What we're going to focus on in the next couple minutes is why does the exception of Tzarchi Rabim make any sense? if it's really a lack of derech eretz, it's a lack of kavod, and therefore it's not effective to ask bakashos in the first three or last brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, what about Tzarchi Rabim Mikin Mutter? Yes, what does the Rush say?
Because it's out of the realm of Bakasha at that point.
Right, so
it's kind of Hodah.
Exactly. So the Rush says it about Shabbat. Right, I don't know how the Rush applies to Hodah. It's
Shabbat.
So the Rush is basically, what is the Rush doing? It's keeping the principle. The Gemara is true. You can't ask for Bakasha in the first three last Rakhals of Shemoneh Esrei. What are we doing when we say Zarkhina Lachayim, Moksov Lachayim Tovim? It's Shabbat. How is it Shabbat? Because we're expressing the fact that everybody in the world needs God. And so even though it's phrased as a bakasha, really our kavana is shavach, because Tzarki Rabim Tzliim Bo, because everybody needs Hashem. And that's really the statement that we're making when we add in these seemingly bakashos in the first three and last three brachos of the first three and last three brachos, so brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Sorry?
You can say it's the aggregate for an individual.
Right, but I guess it's not the Rush's language sounds like it's not so much of a shavach to say that I am dependent on God. I'm dependent on so many people. Dependent on my employer, dependent on this person, that person. But to say that the entire nation, the entire world is dependent on God, that actually is a shakach. But that's what the rush sounds like. How the rush fits, the rush is talking about both the shlosh rishonos and shlosh achronos. How the rush fits in the shlosh achronos, I'm not exactly sure, because it's not really hodah, it's more shevach, that everybody needs God. But the rush is clearly trying to make the Gemara operative and saying, yeah, we add in these things, but it's not really bakasha, it's really shevach. The Meiri has a line that she didn't put on the sheet. The Meiri just says, it's mostly Shavach, it's a little bit of Bakasha at the end, it's basically fine. Don't you shouldn't be too worried about it. But there are other approaches, particularly in the Achronem, that take a different approach. Not that what we're saying is really Shavach, an underhanded Shavach, or we're intimating Shavach. Really what we're saying is Bakasha. But for some reason, the Gemara is only operative. It's only a lack of Derech Eretz. If you only have a problem with lack of Derech Eretz, we're talking about Tzarchi Yachid. But Tzarchi Rabim, even though it's a Bakasha, are going to be fine to say. Why? What happened to the lack of Derech Eretz? So,
that's what you need.
So there are two ways to say it. One approach is the Rosh Yosef. Rosh Yosef is the same author as the Prima Gadim. If you look at the Prima Gadim over here, source number 9, he's like, if you're talking about the entire Tzibor, the Tzibor includes Tzadikim Gemurim, the Lamed of Tzadikim. And there's a line in the Gemara that Tzadikim Gemurim, they could be Tovea things from Hashem directly. Because it's not based on Rachamim, they actually deserve all the good things in the world. And therefore, it's not really lack of their Eretz when you're talking about the entire Tzibor, to demand that God should give you things, even in the middle of Shavach and Hodah, because these people are actually deserving. So he's focused that if you're talking about the entire Tzibor, the Tzibor includes Tzadikim. And if the Tzibor includes Tzadikim, so therefore you're allowed to be Tovea things, you're allowed to ask things for God directly, even in the middle of Shavach and Bakasha. But you look at the Medrash, source number 10, you get the approach which I think is much more intuitive. The Medrash says, again, not our context, but there are a bunch of Achronim, there's a Sefer Minchas Yosef from a Rav in Lakewood, I'm forgetting his name, Yosef Ingber. He's a Ram in Yeshiva in Lakewood. I was looking. I don't like saying things myself. So whenever I have a pshat that I think is true, I always search an Osir Chachma to see if somebody that's much smarter than me and wiser than me knows a lot more. I said it. So I was familiar with this medrash. So I put, you know, Osir Chachma is amazing. You put the lines from the Rush and this medrash into Osir Chachma together. You do a search. And you find that, yeah, there's some Rav in Lakewood that put the two together. And I'm like, wow, so it's not my Kiddush. Somebody else said it before me. This is the non-Gush part of me. I really enjoy having people to quote and but they have before me. But in this case, I don't know if you need it. What does the Medrash say? Vayidaber Moshe el Hashem, el Hashem limor. Yifkon Hashem elokei ruchos. Moshe speaks to Hashem. Hashem appoints a leader for the nation. The Medrash says, Kol mi shemavakesh darkei tzibor ki'ilu ba bizroa. What does it mean, ba bizroa? Strong-armed. You're strong-armed. If you're being mevakesh, if you're speaking to Hashem on behalf of the tzibor, you're supposed to come with the lashon of vayidaber. Vayidaber, as we know, is not amir racha, it's amir akasha. That's what the mefarshim and the medrash say. That when you're speaking on behalf of the tzibor, or asking Hashem for things for clients from Al-Zahol, you're allowed to be ba bizroa. You're allowed to come forcefully. Put that together with our issue. The Gemara says you're not supposed to be mavakesh your own. You're not supposed to mavakesh tzrachav during hodah. It's a lack of derech eretz. Tzrachi Rabim, the Rishonim all say according to our siddur, we do include tzrachi Rabim in our siddur for hodah. And the Rambam, the Rav Amram Go, and the Tiamarim included even in Al-Nisim. I tlaka tarak aretz mevakesh tzrachim in the middle of tefillah, in the middle of hodah. What's the answer? Sarki Rabim Shaini. It is lakha tarak aretz. It's a total lakha tarak aretz. It's chutzpahdik. And when you're talking to Hashem and thanking Hashem for things, to all of a sudden add in another request. But when we're talking about Am Yisrael's home, we're talking about Sarki Rabim, it is totally fine. Because even though it's problematic, even though it's chutzpahdik, there's an overriding need for its Sarki Rabim, and for whatever reason, when you're speaking on behalf of Klal Yisrael, when you're tapping in to a need that Am Yisrael has, you're allowed to be chutz, you're allowed to have a little bit of lack of derech eretz, even when you're speaking to Hashem. What do you think about that? I think it's Shemamish Pshan the Rishonah. Maybe I should have put this in the sheet, the Machzor Vitri, when he quotes his answer about Zochreinu L'chaim and all those other things, he says, Sarkei Rabim Shaini, you're allowed to end Zochreinu L'chaim, K'sol V'chaim Tovim Kol Medei Boreisakha. Then he has another line, Vashat Tzrik L'kach. And it's a Yom in the Rayim, it's a Saras Mitzvah, so we need to do this. So again, so when does Shad Tzrik L'kach, the fact that we need to do this, override a lack of Derech Eretz, Klafei Shemayim? Elamai, you're talking about Sarkei Rabim. Sarkei Rabim, Shad Tzrik L'kach, Am Yisrael needs this. You're really allowed to be a chutzpahdik or have a little bit of lack of Derech Eretz. We'll see how far you go when you're speaking to Hashem on behalf of Am Yisrael. Yeah,
recently. Like a long tradition where the Rabim have certain leniencies and allowances that the Tzibur doesn't. The Rav's whole thing about and how you can actually change Shmon Esrei and insert Vidui all of a sudden in Shmon Esrei, but only as it pertains to the Rav, okay. And not the Tzibur and the Avoda of Yom Kippur, because it's Avoda of the Rabbin as opposed to the, you know, individual. So that number 10, you know, this Medrash seems like it's like Pshat.
Exactly. When I'm under that, it's Pshat. I think it's Pshat in our Siddur in many, many cases. And also, I think maybe it's a different drasha, the same drasha, that in the Rav referenced the Tur. The Tur says on Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that you're supposed to be besimcha and get a haircut and take a shower before Rosh Hashanah because you're batuach that you're going to be zocha b'den. But all Rosh Hashanah morning, we're in shul crying and not sure if we're going to be zocha b'den. So how do we deal with that split? So the Bali Musar say, I think Rav Yitzchak Blazer has a letter where he says, when can you be sure you're zocha b'den? As a tzibur. So, but talk on me and Uchiyo Shabbos. That was the line which the Bali Musar used to say on Yom HaNerayim. And therefore, many of them didn't want to get aliyos. Rav Chana Wasserman refused to get an aliyah, if I recall correctly, it was him, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. He goes, talk on me and Uchiyo Shabbos. I want to be, the Mizorah says that the Isha Shanama said that on Rosh Hashanah. So why? Because when you're part of the Tzibur, as a Tzibur, you could be happy to have that you're going to be Zohar. As an individual person, what right do I have to speak to Hashem in a certain way? How am I? What zechuyos do I have? I have to be meschanin for rachamim. I'm not deserving.
That's pretty evident. The entire Shmon Esrei is
berabim. Right.
It's not like crazy chiddush. I mean, it's like all of our tefillah is berabim.
All of our tefillah is berabim. That is true, but you're allowed to add in individual bakashos. Well, we have two things. Number one, you're allowed to add in individual bakashos in the emsorios, and you can't add in individual bakashos in the first three and last three, according to what we're saying. And also, when we get, the Gemara says, you should always be mishanti for yourself with the tzibur. Therefore, tefillah's blush and rabbim. When we get to that subject, we'll see how fundamental that is to tefillah. Let's say you have the entire thing blush and yachid. How is your, are your yotish manas right? Why did Chazal broaden it and say that we, even in your davening for your own bakashos,
You wouldn't say Rifa'inu is a public, but I mean, it's said in the Rabbim, but that, again, in this framework of the three saying, that's considered a yachid.
It's a yachid's
parasha. No, but it's not because you don't. But it's not because in the Siddur you have a special edition
for a yachid.
Specific people.
No,
before,
but
the bracha. But the bracha of itself is a Rabbim. Rifa'inu, you're asking.
Said in Rabbim, but again, this whole structure of Sheva, right, it binds the Arshur Esrei, which. Must be
right. It's not just more effective that we have a certain standing clapping Kacharakul, and therefore things that would be chutzpahdik. It's not just more effective Eis Ratzo and the Shekhinahs here, like we discussed in the previous weeks about Tefillah B'Tzibur. Is that we have a certain standing klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're at Tzibur, and there are certain things that would be chutzpahdik as a yachid, when you're doing them on behalf of the Tzibur, you have the ability to sort of be toveya and demand things from Hashem in a different type of way.
I always look at, you know, I always try to think of like, just as a whole, like when Hashem sees the Jewish people together, it's just like there's a certain nachas that, you know, I love that, okay, like he kind of puts aside whatever chutzpah you're going to have when there's achdus, and otherness.
Right. So I think it could be because Hashem looks at us with the wazir's achos and beloved, yeah. Different lens. And we're going to see maybe it's because Hashem made certain promises to Am Yisrael as a whole, which he didn't make to individual Jews. And therefore, there's a bargain, there's a deal. And Hashem has to, we can remind Hashem of that deal when you're a tzibor, but not when you're a yachid. Because the brisos Hashem made with us are with the tzibor, not necessarily with the yachid.
So why wouldn't the something that don't add that line in Al Anisim?
Great question.
One, so that's one. Right. And two, so you could say, okay, in the your side of personal amida, don't add it in, but why wouldn't the Chazara Tashas, that's obviously not a personal tefillah at that point, why wouldn't you that nusach be added in at least for that?
Right, so Chazara, that's a great question. Both are great points. So Chazara Tashas will have to deal with what is Chazara Tashas supposed to be doing? Is it really tefillah of the tzibor, or maybe just a way to be mutzi, the individual person that doesn't know how to daven? In terms of why would the Maharam be comfortable saying, Sob l'chayim tovim kol b'nei b'rizacha, but he wouldn't feel comfortable saying this line of Anisim? That is something which I did not see any Rishonim addressing, because the Maram Siddur did have Uksol V'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'Rizacha. The Ashkenazi Siddur has it. So my suggestion is like this. Yeah, Alex, I do.
Isn't there enough Kamina Nisim versus the Kashot for the Sibur?
Okay, good. So we'll get to that at the end. Maybe the particular language of this Bakasha is very chutzpahdik, because you're asking for an ace. Or I think that there might be a difference in lamdas between the nature of Al Anisim and the way that it integrates into the bracha of Modim and other Uksol V'chaim Tovim or other types of additions that we add in. Because the Rav Chaim has a Chakira, I think it's a generally well-known Chakira, when you add in things to Shimon Esrei, are they integrated into the bracha and therefore they become part of Shimon Esrei? Or it's just like an Azkara, it's something which you have to mention at some point over the course of the day. It makes sense to mention it. It makes sense to mention it during Tefillah itself. Like the thing the Rav said, Amashe Baruch Morita Geshem, the two nuskos, some are Geshem, some are Geshem. So Geshem, with two segals, means that it's not a stop. It's a continuous flow into the next words, grammatically. Geshem is that you always change a segal to a comma at the end of a phrase. So the Rav said, maybe that's the lamdas. Amashe Baruch Morita Geshem, it's an independent phrase, it's a stop, it's not really integrated into the bracha. But if you smash a bracha with a gesha with the two segals, it means it's just part of the flow of the bracha. And there's lots of interesting lamdas about this. So if you look at Rashi and Masechet Shabbos and the sugya of Mai Hanukkah, where Hanukkah is first introduced, it says that the Chazara kovea the days for the hodos of lahala. What does it mean lahodos? Rashi says Al Anisim. So according to Rashi, Al Anisim is not just meina maora like yalav yavo or other things. That you just an addition into Shimon Esrei, Al Anisim is part of the actual takana of Hanukkah. And it makes sense, it's much more fundamental, it's much more integrated into your actual tefillos, than when Chazal created Hanukkah, they like changed the tefillos such that Al Anisim should be there. So it could be that the Maram Rinnenberg would say, if you want to mention Ksol V'chaim Tovim, it's not integrated into the bracha at all, that I'm okay doing. But it's really chutzpahdik to actually talk about Hodah, integrate Hodah into your Raka Modim and still change the Nusach HaTfilah and still add in Bakasha. That is like adding in a Bakasha into the actual fabric of the Raka of Modim, which might be more problematic than just adding in Ksol V'chaim Tovim, which is much more of a general phrase. So that could be the one that's mind it. I don't know. Because the Maram, I think if I recall correctly, I checked it up, but there's nothing about the Maram taking out Ksol V'chaim Tovim Kol B'nei B'Rizacha, but he did take out the line of Al Nisim. So what the difference is, you could argue one way or the other, but that might be a suggestion from a more lumdish perspective.
Can I suggest another thread?
Yeah.
It's like when you say something, people say, da 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 da, but. So each stress will always say until the but, right? So when you say, Zachir L'chaim, it's like a separate point. It's not part of the flow, like what you're saying. Right. By saying the point that it doesn't detract from all the hodah given until now. So we're in a unique time, so you need to add a unique bakasha. But that's something connected, so it doesn't detract. Perhaps here, because the Al-Nisim,
Hashem
does
this
show. Please don't
go to the end. Perhaps
there's a little bit of like a
detraction. Before, it's not a Hodash Shlema
or something like that, so it's more.
I hear that. I guess that's a more shot, or it's a more shot-oriented version of what I was saying.
Yeah,
I was saying it more
lengthily. I always try to think of it in the context of me and my kids. You know, like, because we are Hashem's kids, right? And like, certainly they thank you for something, and then they're like, ask again. Like,
yes.
It's a little. 100%. Like, I gave you this. Like, what do you.
I gave you a candy. I asked for another candy.
Like, you know.
And it's exactly the Choni HaMa'agal Sugya, which we'll get there in a second. So this notion of, so what do we have up until now? We have Rishonim saying that it's in general lack of derech eretz to add in bakashos during the last three brachos. Masorchi Tzibor are okay, because you want to be a little bit chutzpahdik. You want to have a little bit of lack of derech eretz when you are speaking on behalf of the tzibur. So I want to think a little bit more broadly to try to track this in other sugyos. Do we find this notion of a chutzpah de tefillah of people that wanted something from Hashem? And it sounds like Lachashem Tzakov Bonabosha Sapanim, Hashem, we're undeserving, Hashem, you're a Kelaka Machana, and everything you do is right, but please use your Midas Rachamim to give me X, Y, and Z. But maybe tefillos, like we find more in Tanakh sometimes, where people, the Nevi'im, stood up to Hashem and said, Hashem, this doesn't make any sense. Hashem, you promised certain things, and they aren't happening. So I just want to go through a couple of cases like this in Chazal, try to track it a little bit in the Rishonim, and then end with a contemporary example, hopefully all in 15 to 20 minutes. So there are a couple of Gemaras that seem to talk about this directly. There's a Gemara in Brachos of Amon Aleph on the base, which says like this. V'yamar Rabbi Lazar, Eliyo hitiach devarim klapi maila. Eliyo hitiach, Rashi says, is lizruk. He threw things up to God. Shnemar batasi bo says liba macharinis. Eliyo accused Hashem at Har Carmel, Hashem, it's your fault they're worshiping Avodah Zarah. You caused them to worship Avodah Zarah. And therefore, Hashem, you should do a miracle to prove your existence to them so they stop worshiping Baal and come back to Hashem. So, is this a good tefillah or a bad tefillah? The Gemara continues. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Yitzchak. Minayin shechazar kadosh baruch hu v'hodelo, v'eliyahu. D'ksev asher harayusi. Hashem was maskim to Eliyahu. Hashem said, "Yo, it was a good tefillah." Hashem did the miracle, and Hashem accepted guilt for causing Am Yisrael, this partial guilt, causing Am Yisrael to go astray. Similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar Belazar, Moshe tells Rabbeinu, "Klapi Malash." Now, he's Palel Moshe El Hashem. I took El Hashem, El Hashem. This is after the Mizonadim. Moshe was davening for Klal Yisrael. The fire was burning people, and Moshe davened on El Hashem, kilo on top of Hashem. And then the Gemara says another time Moshe Rabbeinu did this, perhaps was by the Egel Azav. That Hashem told Moshe, Am Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem, it's your fault because you brought them to this point where it was almost automatic that they were going to worship Avodah Zarah. So here you have this notion, b'matiach dvaram klapi mala. Again, the Gemara doesn't say is it recommended, not recommended. The Gemara mentions people that did it. There's no criticism, and we know with Eliyahu, Hashem responded positively to the tefillah, and with Moshe Rabbeinu also, Hashem, we know the end of the story, Hashem stopped the fire by the Mizonanim, and Hashem saved Am Yisrael with the story of the ego. But at the same time, look at source number 12, the Gemara uses the same exact phrase with a little bit of more criticism. Source number 12, Levi gazar tanisa v'lasa mitra. So there was a drought, Levi was gozer atanis, and rain still didn't come. Amar nafana, ribano shalom. Alisa v'yashavta b'marom. God, you left us. You're dwelling somewhere in the heavens. V'inatam rachim abanacha. You have no rachmanas on us. Asa mitra v'itzla. Rain came, but Levi got lean. His legs no longer functioned. Am Rabbi Lazar, the olam al yitiach adam devarim klapi mala. You should never be matiach devarim klapi mala. Same exact phrase. Shai adam gadol yitiach devarim klapi mala v'itzla. Umano Levi. Because Levi was Matziah Tavarim Klapi Mala, he was answered. The rain came, but he was punished. So what do you already see from this Gemara? That, again, it's he was answered. It's a model of tefillah. It's a modality of tefillah. It's a way of approaching Hashem. He was answered, but at the same time, he was punished for doing so. What's unique about all these tefillos? They're all tefillos for the rabbin. They're all tefillos of a tzaddik on behalf of Am Yisrael. There's one other person that's Matiyah Tavarim Klapi Mala in the Gemara. It's Chana. Chana's davening for herself. But I don't want to go into it, but if you look into Nefesh HaChaim, look in the Mefreshim, they all try to explain how her tefillah was really for Am Yisrael, for Hashem, for something other than herself and her personal desire, her personal desire for a baby. One other Gemara, Choni Amagyo. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story. There was no rain. Choni draws a circle and says, I'm not going to leave here until rain comes. Who is Choni modeling himself after, according to the Gemara? Look in the second line. Achavakuk. Derak sh'as achavakuk anavi. Good. What happens at the end of the story? First, there's too little rain. There was too much rain. Choni is constantly responding. And everything happens exactly the way Choni wants. Look at the underlying part on page number 4. Shalak lo shemem mishatach. El mali Choni ata. Gozroni alach anidwe. If you weren't Choni, I would put you in chayim. But what can I do? You look in the next line of Ma'a Selecha. You're kilo doing a chet to Hashem, but Hashem is still doing what He wants. This is Joshua's mashal, like a son, like a child who is acting chutzpahdik. You're asking in an improper fashion, but the parent still sometimes does what the child wants. Why would Shem Mitzatok why would he want to have put Choni Amag on Kherim? Look at the Gemara. It sounds like it was dangerous because maybe his skilos wouldn't have been answered. But Rashi though, Rashi throws in something else. I would put you on chayrim. Sheminadon kvod rav. She tiach dvarim v'amar lo kaksha alti. Kvod shemayim. The choni is soned. I didn't ask for this. I asked for something else. Didn't ask for this. I asked for something else. He was chutzpahdik. And because he was chutzpahdik, therefore he would have been put on chayrim. But he wasn't put on chayrim because clearly Hashem loved him and Hashem responded well to his tefilos.
Why doesn't he use the example of Moshe?
That's an interesting question. Meaning, I guess it's part of the tefillah for the ego. Is that?
But it's like a do or die.
It's like a do or die. Yeah, I guess it's a similar. I guess it's a similar type of situation. I guess. Yeah, I mean, if you want the full comprehensive treatment of this, there's a fellow. His name is Professor Dov Weiss. It could be some people are known. He has a book called Pious Irreverence. He tracks this notion in Chazal. That he basically says that in times of the Nevi'im, you find different strands, as we'll see in a second. But he says, like, what happened in Chazal? And he basically goes through a different Svarim, Mishnah, Tosefta, Bavli, Yerushalmi, different Midrashim. And he says that there's a real debate about this, and about the same exact incidents, and like this Korban Beis Mikdash and some of the tragedies that occurred. You find some books in Chazal where they're just like, Shtika, Lechashem et Saka, Lenavosh Zvanim, Tatsur Tzamin Palo, Kod Rechav Mishpat, and that's it. We just have to accept and do tshuva. And you find other places in Chazal, he says Talmud Bavli and Medrash Yilamdinu, a late Eretz Yisrael Medrash, the two books were like full force. Let's use the Nevi'im as a model, and let's argue the case of Am Yisrael before Hashem. What it could be, there are some Midrashim on that pasuk. I'm not remembering right now. But what do you see from Shem and Meshatach though? That it is not really the way the average person should be davening. If you look at our siddur,
there's a line. You could be tzarkei tzibur. There is some
right.
Some there's you could have, but there's a line or a circle in that case.
It's, yes, yes, exactly.
That you can pass.
Right. Good. And therefore, it's a type of field that works, that's sanctioned to a degree, but it's not really used as a model or. As a blatant model, as a very, very apparent model, I think, in our siddur, how many tefillos do we have over the course of our daily siddur, daily and yearly machzor, where we go to Hashem and say, Hashem, you could have deal with us. You said if we do certain things, you'll do certain things. We're keeping our end of the bargain. Hashem, keep your end of the bargain. So, slichos. I mean, it's all Lashon Bakasha.
Right.
It's all based on Rachmanos and Rachamim. The Hashem Tzaka Avonah Boshes upon him is the phrase. And Hashem, whatever you do is right. Rav Soloveitchik in his kinos says that the general modality that we work with is the Hashem Tzaka Avonah Boshes upon him. Nachmasad Rachido v'Nachkora. Says on Tisha B'Av, and immediately after the tragedy strikes, that's the only time a Jew is allowed to ask Echa or Ayaka, and we don't know what's going on. Hashem, show up and give us answers. It's like immediately after the first two prakim of Echa, we ready transition into Chet Onesh. And if you look at the kinos, he tracks it. Says the first couple of kinos have a lot of unanswered questions, and by the time you get up to, I'm forgetting which number, the third, fourth, fifth kina, it's already about our chataim. It's already about tzidak hadin. Hashem, whatever you did is right, and we were deserving of this. So he's like, that is the ultimate Jewish answer. But at the beginning, we have an allowance to be a little bit more chutzpahdik and a little bit more aggressive, so to speak, in our tefillos.
It's like grief.
Sorry.
It's like the good
stage. Stages of grief. Yeah. But I think, as we're gonna see, there are some people and there are some strands that say, no, like this is a good modality of tefillah, but it wasn't incorporated in our siddur, because I shouldn't think of Shemin Meshatach's, his logic is what went out in the end of the day. This is good for people like Choni. And as Yonatan Wiesen will tell you, Choni lived in a transition period, in the middle of Ayat. He was like in between the Nevi'im and the regular Tanayim. So it makes sense that you have these figures that are like walking around, and were like, they were part of the Besider's world, they were Tanayim, but at the same time, they took some of that koach, some of that spirituality, some of that rawness of the Nevi'im, and they were still channeling it. But once the further you get into Tekufas HaTanayim, the less and less of these types of things you're going to see. Yeah, Brandon. Right.
I know there are different modalities of how we approach Hashem in times of needs or wants. We were talking about like a servant approaches Hashem, but it seems to be, I don't know if this is the one issue that separates him from Levi, but it's because he was a son, or acting like a son to his father, maybe it was totally permissible.
Right. I think, broadly speaking, I think that's exactly it. Once the Tekufa of the Nevi'im is over, and we enter the Tekufa of Chachamim and learning texts, and Hashem, we're not in the same direct communication with Hashem, so then distance is created. Once distance is created, so then the modality of Tefillah is going to be a little bit different. And then Tekufa Sanaviyam, where you're speaking with Hashem, so then you have this relationship already established, so you're able to speak in a certain way, particularly when you're speaking on behalf of Am Yisrael. But, and Choni Amago was still tapping into that. So good. I think in general we don't. Let me just give you one example. Let's go see what the Rishonim did to a parak in Tanakh. Look at and then we'll end with the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who's who tried to bring back this modality of tefillah. look at source number 14. Tilim parak pitas. There are a lot of prakim in Tilim which are about Hashem, please save me in battle. I've been saying a lot of Tilim recently. Well, as I'm sure everybody is, there's so much there about war, about battles, that it didn't resonate before. I always say telling people are sick and things like that. But there's so many prakim and telem, they're just about, you know, Ace Sarah and wars and enemies and things like that. So a lot of them, like, Shem, please save me because of your rachamim, because of your chesed, because of all these things. Telem Perek Peites is one of the prakim where the author, Itan Azraki, just goes full force. I'm going to sing your shira and your chasadim constantly. What is the chasad Hashem did? This is a parak about the bris Hashem made with Malchus Bisavid. And it's all about the amazing things Hashem did with Malchus Bisavid. Skip half the parak, most of the parak. Pasuk Lamed Hey. I'm not gonna desecrate the bris. I made a bris with Hashem. I'm keeping up my half of the deal. Look at pasuk mem. Ne'arta bris avdaka. But Hashem, what happened on your side? Ne'arta Rashi says is a hefarta. You broke your bris. Chilalta the eretz Yisrael. Paranta kol gedir resav. Samta mitzrav makita. There's no pullback. The author of the parak is saying, Hashem, you made a bris with Malchus Bisavid. They kept their end of the deal. You didn't. You broke the bris. Again, other prakim tell him the same topic. It's about Hashem, we sinned. We worship Avodah Zarah. I know Am Yisrael is not in the best state. And therefore, these things happen. This parak, the guy's going full force and saying, Hashem, you broke it. Rashi throws in a little bit of a chit. There's no chit mentioned at all in the parak. Look at the Ibn Ezra. This is fantastic. Source number 15. Ibn Ezra in his Akdama to the parak. Ibn Ezra says, Haya b'sfara, chacham gadol v'chassid. There was a chacham gadol v'chassid in Spain. V'zam ezmar hayolav kasha. The Ibn Ezra is like, I knew of a Chacham Gadol in Spain. He refers to him as a Chacham Gadol. They just did not say this parak and tell him and refused to listen to anybody reciting this parak and tell him because it speaks kashos against Hashem. This Chacham Gadol didn't want to add in a little bit of chet like Rashi did. And you just want to read the Pshat HaPsukim. Pshat HaPsukim is very, very harsh. And what is the reaction of a good Jew living in Spain in the, I don't know, 1100s, who reads a parak like this? How can you speak to God this way? Like, who are we? Who's the author of this parak and tell him to speak to Hashem this way? So whatever the Pshat they had, I can't say it. Ibn Ezra says, what is the actual Pshat in the parak? He says there's a speaker switch. He said that these psukim weren't actually said by the author of the parak. They are what the enemies of Malchus Beis David are telling the kings of David, that, look, Hashem abandoned you. Hashem broke his bris with you. Hashem no longer cares about you. And that is a speaker shift that happens without any indication in the psukim. Where else does Ibn Ezra pull this move of a speaker shift? In Habakkuk. Chabakuk, the model for Konya Ma'agel. Chabakuk also speaks very negatively, very harshly against Hashem. Hashem, why are Rishayim taking over Tzadikim? Hashem, tafug Torah, you're causing the Torah to be weakened because you said all these things in the Torah and it's not happening. Ibn Ezra says, there's a speaker shift. Chabakuk is speaking in the name of the people of Beshulayim. They're going to see all these things and lose their emunah. What does the Medrash say about Chabakuk? Medrash says that Chabakuk realized he was set over the line. The third paragraph of Chabakuk begins, Tzvila the Chabakuk ala Shigyonos. Shigyonos from the Shogig. The Medrash says that Chabakuk realized he didn't have era and he davened for tshuva. But you see this tension. How do we deal with Prakim Matanach like this? How do we deal with these types of tefillos? The one point I want to bring out is that as Yechidim, we don't have the ability to daven to Hashem this way anymore, let's say. But we see a little bit of resonance of this when we're speaking to Hashem on behalf of Tzibor. Sarachi Tzibor, you're allowed to add into the first three and last three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, even though it's lack of Derech Eretz, because when you're speaking on behalf of the Tzibor, you can have a lot more confidence and a lot more tap in a lot more to the bris Hashem made with Am Yisrael. Just to conclude, because Yitzes Kislev was yesterday, if we look in source number 16, sorry, the Sefer Maccabim, you could look at the tefillos of Yehuda Maccabi. He's very much in. Yehuda Maccabi is a super strong figure. He's like rallying up the troops, killing people, giving people these chizuk speeches that nobody would be embarrassed of today. Really, a lot of amazing chizuk. Just read the Sefer Maccabim, you'll see his chizuk speeches to his soldiers. But when he speaks to Hashem, it's very much Rachmanus. Hashem atov b'nei v'yaseh. Hashem chesed rachamim. We're undeserving, but Hashem, please save us. So you have this split. He's a very strong personality. He's being moded, being machazik to people. When he speaks to Hashem, it's very much in the Rachmanos Chesed type of line. The Hasidim brought back this type of tefillah a little bit. This notion of standing up to Hashem, or arguing with Hashem, being a senegar with Hashem for Am Yisrael. Stories of Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev. And in contemporary times, I think the Babish Rebbe was probably the stalwart of this type of tefillah. In the early 1980s, he took a children's song that was being sung by a bunch of Chabad kids, We Want Mashiach Now, and he made it into a song which all Chabad Hasidim sing, and I think Ari Yom HaZeh, it's still sung in kinder and preschools in America, much to the chagrin of Litvish parents. I learned We Want Mashiach Now in kindergarten. I only realized there's controversy about it many, many years afterwards, which is exactly what Chabad wanted. That it's part of your kishkas before you realize that there are issues with it.
V-Vont.
And the Rebbe was very aware, and the Rebbe not just said, we want Mashiach now. Your kid went over to you and said, you know, I want a candy now. Like, how would you respond? Please, thank you, do something to be deserving. I don't know, something like that. But the Rebbe said, we want Mashiach now is the way not just these kids, not just the Rebbe, not just the Tzaddik, but everybody should be talking. And the Rebbe said, this is part of a general notion we should have in our tefillos of being Toveya Gula. Let's just read one or two lines from the sources.
But it's still a tzarfik tzibur.
Exactly. That's what the Rabbi said. You can't do this for your personal tzfilos. You say you can only do it for the geula, but that is the ultimate tzarfik tzibur. And Hashem cares so much about Am Yisrael.
That's why the parent-child analogy
sort of falls.
There's no tzarfik tzibur when a child's asking, hey, let's say you're a family of 10 and you're going to have
to
have
your
siblings, but that's really the case.
Good, yes. I hear the point. I mean, there are different strands as to why this would be allowed. Maybe a ben to an av, or a child, a parent would allow it, and also tzarchi tzibor might be a different modality. I totally hear that, really.
I heard on the point of like Mashiach now, in connection to Chagga, I heard Shlomo say once that Chashmonaim is otiyot Mashiach now.
Mashiach now. Ah, very nice. If you look in our Shlomo Sefer from our Shlomo Karbach on Hanukkah, there's a chapter that says every chapter is like shining this, shining that. One chapter is shining chutzpah. Hanukkah is the chag of chutzpah in a positive sense. Ayin Shem. But the Rebbe basically said that the Gemara in Sotah says, before Mashiach comes, chutzpah yaski. There's going to be a lot of chutzpah in the world. And the Rebbe said, that's exactly, we have to use chutzpah yaski in a positive way. Kimeduber, look at the third paragraph, after he quotes the Gemara, quotes Bayaski, Kimeduber kama pamim, kvar nipsak b'torah, shakolim kol kitzin, v'ina dar b'tali ela b'shuva, v'zeh l'chol v'yel, says, hi, Mashiach has already come. L'kank tzarek yudi l'haro shu rot zed zed b'emes, l'chein aleinu, the next paragraph, l'tzapol sviyas Mashiach, v'litzboa also, ad ba'ofen shachutzba, shachutzba klapi shemayim mahanya. We have to not just be mitzapa, but be toveya gula, the chutzbah, because chutzbah klapi shemayim mahanya. Where is that phrase from? It's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The chutzpah klapi shemayim works. Who is it about? It's about Bilam. The Gemara says that Bilam, Hashem, Bilam wanted to go curse on Israel, and Bilam, Hashem first said no. Then Bilam kept on asking. Eventually, Hashem said, "You could do whatever you want." So that the Gemara says, you see from there, chutzpah klai v'shemayim mahanu. The chutzpah works klai v'shemayim. And then how is the Rebbe using that? He knows the context. That is the type of chutzpah we're supposed to tap into. The chutzpah of Bilam, the achar siyamim, as we close to the Mashiach, not just be toveya, but not just be matzampa, but be toveya geula. Because this is what's necessary in our times. I just want to finish one more point. Look at the next couple of makoros. The Rambam is very clear. He's aware of the fact this is changing the modality of tefillah. That he says, your Haredi friends, he used the word Haredi, the Hebrew translation is Haredi, I don't know what word to use in English, are going to ask you, Chabadniks, what are you doing? How could you? I believe in Mashiach also. I don't think it's proper to be Marish and be Mistair and be Toveya and be Mitzava, that Hashem should bring Mashiach. He's like, look, this is a time period. There's so many makoros about being tovea things. And in the footnotes, he says, come upon them with chazal. We find people that will chutzpah the kabbalah kadosh baruch hu. He footnotes all these gemaras. He footnotes a lot of rishonim that discuss this. He's like, this is a time period to tap into this koach. And he's very clear. It's only because this is the tzrachim of Am Yisrael. Look at the last makar. And he talks about we want Mashiach now. There's the second paragraph. Zoe nekuda se'inyan, v'tam se'inyan v'ikar inyan, t'chol inyanim amurim le'el, sh'yudim tzokim an masai, m'vakshim sh'yavol Mashiach take it from Yad. The Jews have to scream out an masai. Why? U'muvan she'ein zeh b'stir l'amur le'el shalosh shalom shalos. You can't ask questions on Hashem. She'ein ein zeh b'gather shal she'ela. It's not like Hashem, I don't understand how this works. Kim shalo yecholim lispal od sarah galos. It's like, Hashem, Am Yisrael is in pain. Am Yisrael can't suffer anymore. Hashem, you have to take us out of galos. So it's not about a theological. It's not about a theological argumentation. Hashem, you promise us X, X, Y, and Z. It's more of an emotional outburst. Hashem, we can't be sovel tzara galus anymore. Therefore, we want Mashiach now. You have to take us out of galus. There was a lot of pushback. The Rebbe was aware of the pushback. He references the pushback, but he pushed this line even more. We want Mashiach line now. I remember in Yeshiva University, one of the Rashi Yeshiva in a Sichas Masar in a tangent said that he does not let his kids sing, we want Mashiach now. Because it's chutzpah. Who speaks like that to anybody? Kal v'chomer, speaking that way to Kodesh Baruch Hu. I think we've seen that Tzarka Yitzibor, again, in a certain sense, you're allowed to be, there's a little bit of lack of Darak Haaretz that's allowed, as long as you're tapping into the Koach of the Tzibor. And even though this type of tefillah was more sublimated over the course of the Long Galus, I think more and more, just read the news, read different tefillahs, different songs people have written in the last seven, eight weeks now. I think you'll see some of this modality is coming out more to the fore. And Emir Tashem, this chutzpah, this within boundaries, of course, this Azaz to Kedusha, Hashem should listen to it, and Hashem should show us Nisim, like he showed us Nisim in the times of Hanukkah.